Chapter 2. If you have your Bibles this morning, Titus chapter number 2. I want to try to answer a question here for us this morning. We often, how many's ever questioned, am I doing what God wants me to do? Be honest. You've ever, Lord, I wonder if I'm doing what you want me to do. I wonder if I'm doing the right thing at the right time, in the right place, in the right way, for the right reason. That's a big deal in this Christian life. I'll tell you something that won't last is doing things for the approval of people. It will never last, and I'll tell you why it won't last. It'll last for a while as long as those people are patting you on the back and telling you good job and lifting you up. But as soon as they get tired of doing that, and they will. Everybody all right? As soon as they get tired of doing that, you're going to get tired of serving because you were serving for the wrong motive in the first place. I was listening to my brother-in-law. He went down to, I think it was Illinois, and preached in a big youth conference, and he was challenging the young men and the young ladies who think they're called to the ministry. Don't wait for the preacher or the youth pastor or the workers in the church to call you. Hey, pursue the ministry. Pursue it. And listen, if it's in your heart to do it, you should not have to be asked. I'll tell you right now, if you have a heart for the ministry and you want something to do, I dare you to ask me. I'll give you something to do. There's always a place to serve in the local New Testament church. And I think God has a place for every single one of us, man, woman, boy, and girl, in a place to serve in His church. By the way, that's what we ought to be doing anyway. But don't wait to be asked. Seek it. But why are we ministering, and am I properly ministering according to the Bible is kind of the question I want to answer this morning. And if you got your Bible, say amen. Amen. Titus chapter number 2. Lord, I ask you this morning to be with us now. Bind the devil off this Sunday school hour. Lord, cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Titus chapter 2. Am I properly ministering according to the Bible? See, there's a lot of ways to minister. Everybody okay with that? And really, you know, you've heard the saying, there's no really right or wrong way. There's a lot of things you can do that can line up biblically. And you may do it a little bit different than I do, but as long as the Word of God backs it up, we're going to be all right. Everybody okay with that? Everybody's got different ideas and different motives, but here's the issue. We should have one common goal. And at the end of the day, if what I'm doing is not furthering the kingdom of God, then you're not doing something right. If what you're doing is trying to gain your reward and all you're thinking about is adding, you know, check marks and getting them little stickers. You remember in kindergarten you used to get stickers for being still? I didn't. I never got those stickers. I didn't care too much about stickers, okay? I'd rather move around and get my butt spanked, I guess. I just didn't care about the stickers that much. But, you know, you get rewarded or, you know, so you remember the little green light, yellow light, red light in school? I hung out in yellow light a lot. Caution mode. I hung out there, but, you know, you get rewarded for good things that you do, but if your motive in the ministry is to just gain some reward for you, to hear Brother Travis say, hey man, I saw what you did, that was a good job, and in your brain that's like, boom, that's what I was looking for. If that's your motive is wrong. If your motive in giving is even just to so people, look, here's what, I hate this right here. You wait, and I'm not saying any of you do this, but the offering plate comes through, and you got that one over there going, hey, here's mine, everybody see, I'm giving mine. If your motive is so that I saw it, and that Brother Vic saw it all the way in the back, that you gave your tithe for once in your life to the local New Testament church, your motive for giving is what? Wrong. Your motive for giving should be simply this. God commanded me to give so that He could take what is His anyway. You thought I was going to say what's mine. It's not mine. So that He could take what belongs to Him, multiply it, and further His kingdom. If your motive for teaching Sunday school is just, oh, well, Granny did it, and Mama did it, and my sister done it, I reckon I better fill in the shoes. If your motive is just to be recognized, you know, oh, I've been teaching that class for 50 years, I ain't never had a convert, but I've been doing it. Hey, your motive needs to be right in everything you do. You know, we don't get up and go to work just to make money. That's not the only motive for going to work. There's a lot more things that'll happen if you don't make money. Like your family will suffer. Y'all see where I'm going with this? See, if your motive's wrong in the ministry, your family will suffer. If your motive's wrong in the ministry, your community will suffer. Your local church will suffer. And ultimately, people who know not Christ will suffer. So what is my motive for ministering? Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." You know, the Bible has a lot to say about sound doctrine, doesn't it? I think God's pretty serious when He talks about His Word, and I don't think it's by accident that more than one of the writers that God used to give us His Word said this. I don't think it was by accident at all that over and over again you'll say, "Continue in the things that thou hast learned." The Bible is profitable. It's good for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Stick to sound doctrine. Don't go away to old wives' fables. Don't listen to false doctrine. I don't think that's by accident. I think God's very serious when He talks about His Word. But that's not what we're preaching this morning. That the aged men, verse number 2, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false teachers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. By the way, this is a ministry here. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not arguing, that's what that means, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So am I properly ministering according to the Bible? Well, first this morning, we should always speak sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Well, it's the accurate teaching of the Bible. The accurate teaching of the Bible, and you say, what does that mean? Is there a wrong way? Yes, there's a wrong way to do it. Use the wrong one. Everybody okay? And look, I'm not up here trying to be old King James ugly, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'll always, and I'll die, King James only. Because this Bible's been proven to me. I've never been able to prove it wrong. It's only proven itself right, and it's going to stand the test of time for all eternity. The Word of God is going to stand through it all. It always had. You say, well, that ain't the original text. Well, let me help you understand something. If it were, you wouldn't be able to read it. But here's the cool part. You have a God who was able to preserve His Word in your language. And you ought to be appreciative of that instead of being so ornery and ignorant as to say, well, we don't have them originals. You better thank God you ain't got to read them, because we wouldn't have it. We'd be looking at it like, what does that say? We wouldn't know. But we have a God who, by the way, if God was able to inspire His Word and use men to write it, don't you think He could preserve it to us? He did. And He gave us a perfect copy of it. So be thankful. Sound doctrine, that's the accurate teaching of the Bible that guides Christians on how they should live their lives. We often get distracted with trying to tell lost people how they should live, when in reality we should take a look at ourselves as Christians and learn to live Christ-like. Look at the book of Matthew chapter number 7 with me. Matthew chapter number 7. Now, I don't know about you, but I find myself guilty of what I just said. I often find myself trying to tell other people what they should be doing and what they should not be doing. You say, well, you're a preacher. Ain't that what you do? Yeah, but here's what happens in that time. Oftentimes what happens is I get so focused on other people, I overlook myself. A sinner. But here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 3. Actually, let's just back up to verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. Jesus speaking here. For with what, and by the way, be careful, because the Bible says the righteous judgeth all things. That doesn't mean you don't get to judge me personally, but you can judge my sin, and I can judge your sin. Don't ever take the Bible out of context. The Bible does say that the righteous judgeth all things. If someone is in sin, hey, you don't go to them and condemn them. You condemn their sin. Hey, Jesus loved the sinner, but he hated the sin. Hello? And you ought to have a holy hate for sin as well. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Excuse my voice. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Now, Jesus is preaching this sermon here, Brother Scott. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to be, if he was our guest preacher right now, and that'd be neat, wouldn't it? But man, if he said something like this, every one of us would tuck tail and run like for the hills. Because man, we often, it's real easy to look out, Brother Ian, and point fingers at somebody else's sin. Because we see it. But boy, when them fingers come pointing back at us, how do we feel? We don't like it so good, do we? We feel like, what in the world, who you think you are judging me? But man, you'll judge somebody so fast. Hey, one word for you. Guilty. I know you've been guilty of it also. We all have. Don't be upset. Jesus, he gave us this message for a reason. Verse 4 says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of mine eye, of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Then Jesus said it, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Long story short, don't judge someone else's sin if you're willing to live in yours. Y'all with me? Focus first on your sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. How will I know if the spirits that I'm dealing with are a godly spirit? Well, the good news is God told us in Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is nine things. Singular, by the way, they all go together. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So if the spirit I'm dealing with in the situation that I'm in, with the people that I'm around, in the place that I'm in, is contrary to love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, hey, try the spirit. It's a wrong one. And if you find yourself becoming a part of that spirit, you are now going to find yourself falling out of the will of God with the wrong motive in the ministry in which God has called you to be a part of. The ministry, I don't want to say it's not for everyone, because I believe God called everyone to the ministry of reconciliation, but it's tough sometimes. And it's real tough. There's a real good reason why Jesus gave us a lot of verses on judge not lest ye be judged. On don't call out another man's sin when you have sin in your own life. Hey, listen, when you're in a position of authority or you see it at, in, if you're a boss at work or you how many have been a boss or you oversee a lot of people? Raise your hand. Okay, you've been in a position where you can see, you know more stuff than the ordinary person out there. You know what's going on behind the scenes. You know what takes place out on your job site where the everyday guy might come in, he's just there to make his paycheck, do his job, and go home. He could care less what's going on. You know, that's the kind of people I like. They don't care what's going on. Don't worry them with your business. But then you got the guys who know everything that's going on. And in the back of your mind, what you're thinking is, how am I going to deal with this? 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 And pretty soon you're so focused on all that, you start messing up. Things start coming into your mind. See, the devil will get you distracted on somebody else, but chew you up from the inside out at the same time. You see what I'm saying? Be careful what you get caught up in. Try the spirits. If the spirit you have is a spirit of anger, something happens and maybe now you're angry. Hey, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Hey, Jesus, no doubt, was angry at times. You remember when he came into the temple and you said, you've made my house a den of thieves? I'm pretty sure he was angry when he come in and flipped them tables over. He wasn't happy, but he never sinned. I think he was probably angry when people slapped him in the face and spit on him and mocked him and made fun of him and cursed him and stripped him down and beat him senseless and put a crown of thorn in his head. Hey, he might have been a little angry, but he never sinned one time. You say, why didn't he sin? Because he was in 100% submission to God. Why do we sin? Because we are not in 100% submission to a holy God. Being angry is not a problem. But when it takes over your spirit, it becomes an issue. So is the Spirit a fruit of the Spirit? 1 Timothy 1:3 says this, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There's Paul telling Timothy, hey, don't go after strange doctrine. Don't let the listen, there's a movement in America right now of used to be good preachers. You say, hey, I'm not talking bad about them, but I'm saying they used to be good preachers. They used to open up the same Bible that you and I have in here this morning, the King James Bible. They used to have a fear of God in their life. And then, and there's a movement going in America right now amongst independent Baptists especially. They found liberty. They found it. You know what the Bible says about liberty? Use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. I've found liberty. I've realized I've been in bondage my whole life. This life that my parents made me live. This church, all these rules the church had for me. I've been in bondage. I've found liberty in Christ. I can come as I was and leave as I was. I can sin all I want to. God is love. I'm under grace. It's under the blood. I'm just going to live out my days serving the flesh. Hey, that's not godly. That's not godly. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God. I heard a man tell me this week, I've never been able to study the Word of God because I just don't understand it. The only thing I know about the Bible is what I've been told. And can I say this? If all you know is what you've heard, you don't know much. Amen. If all you know is what you've heard, you don't know much. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, would God tell us to study if He wouldn't give us the ability to learn? I don't think so. We have the Holy Ghost of God that dwells within us at salvation, who, by the way, is the author of the book. The author lives inside of you. I'm pretty sure He can help us understand it. He might not tell you how to pronounce all the names in it, but He could help you understand what's going on. There's a story there. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Remember, we're talking about, are we ministering according to the Bible? Can I say this? We must understand that all Scripture is important. There's not a single word in this King James Bible that God did not mean to be there. They're all there on purpose. Every single one of them. Now, keep in mind, it's not all written directly to you. Everybody okay with that? But it's all for you. Everybody, there's a difference. Some of it is directly to us, but some of it is not. We need to get over the fact that there are things in this Bible that aren't going to agree with our flesh. Everybody all right? Plenty of it. There are things that our flesh desires that God said, hey, that's bad for you. You ought not do that. And by the way, what I've learned is the things that I used to that I used to partake of, and some of the things that I used to allow in my life. I'm excited tonight. The Lord's given me a message on music. I'm going to preach on music tonight. And music is a very, very large stronghold amongst Christians. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I mean this. And I understand you may not have ever been taught. And I didn't know until I was taught, and then I had to study to show myself. But music is such a stronghold in people's lives. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, what was Lucifer in heaven? He was a musician. So what do you think his number one tactic, as he's walking about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, what do you think his number one tactic's going to be? Music. You say, "You're telling me the music that I listen to could affect my ministering to God?" Well, I'm going to prove it to you tonight. It carries a message. Music has a motive. Y'all with me? Music most certainly attracts the mind. I mean, I'll just give you a brief. What are you thinking about? That fast. Why? Because you heard the what? The tune. Now, we were just talking about motives in Christianity. Now everybody's thinking about Andy Griffith and Barney. Now listen. When you're riding down the road and you got good thoughts on your mind and the Lord's trying to work in your heart and all of a sudden that song comes on, I'll be honest with you. I hear the words Hank Jr. and all I think about is my beer drinking days. Why would I want to be whiskey bent and hell bound? Hello? "Preacher, that's just good old..." No, that's exactly the problem. Nothing good or godly comes out of that. I don't want to spoil my message tonight, but music has a motive and it has a message. And think about the tactic the devil can use to attack a Christian. So many Christians are in bondage because of music. And by the way, it just starts a downhill spiral to a lot of very bad things. Ending in, here's what the devil's ultimate goal is. God told us to kill, steal, and destroy. Hey, I can't tell you the amount of suicide notes I've read from teenagers in Alaska that had music lyrics in them, that had stuff written paraphrasing, "The voices told me to do it." The voices from the song and the music that I've been listening to told me to do it. Hey, Satan knows what he's doing. Some of you will say, "Well, that stuff's not real." It's real. The spiritual world is very real. There's a spiritual warfare taking place every single day. It's an invisible world. You don't think Satan's real? Why you get tempted? Y'all with me? You don't think Satan's real? Ain't a single one of you that has walked this past week and hasn't been tempted to do something you ought not do. And some of you had to think twice, two or three times. Satan's real. And he uses simple stuff like music. Everybody thinks music's so innocent. I'm going to help you tonight. I hope you'll come back and listen. Understand that all Scripture is important. It's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Titus 1:9 says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Well, why is this so important that we teach sound doctrine? Well, verse number 2 answers that question. For us to live as Christ would have us to live, we must stick to what the Bible says. We must be sober. The Bible, the term sober means to be self-controlled or to have sound moral judgment and be alert to the dangers of this world. And by the way, that doesn't just mean, you might say, "Well, thank God I pass out when I don't drink." Well, look, that doesn't just mean sober from alcohol. Listen, you can go put some filth in your mind. You can look at filth on your computer, on your phone, for just a few seconds and be devastated in your mind for the rest of your life. Everybody all right? Say, preacher, I know exactly what you're talking about. Hey, think about this. If you've ever seen an unjust or an unholy image, and Lord willing, I hope you haven't, but probably have in your mind, or you know, that image sticks in your mind forever. And the devil will bring that image to life, and he'll present you with opportunities to seek out other images and other sin. And some of you will bite. But hey, there's freedom from that, by the way. Be alert to the dangers of this world. Keep your mind pure. How can I do that? Listen, if David himself, a man after God's own heart, had to say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Hey, you know what that means? There was a wrong spirit there. And he was David, King David, an heir to Jesus Christ. You think you can't have a wrong spirit in you? You can, and you will, and some of you do. But be alert to the dangers of the world. Then it says to be grave. What does this mean? It means to have honorable character or conduct. How we conduct ourselves everywhere we go matters. Can I say this? We should be a 24/7 Christian. All the time. You know, you'll get presented with opportunities sometime. A man told me this week. He said, "Brother Drew, I got invited to go on a fishing trip. And the first thing I had to ask was there going to be alcohol there?" Hey, now why would he ask that question? Because he knew there's a possibility, knowing who asked him, that there would be stuff like that present. And he said, "Look, if that's going to be there, I'm not going." Hey, listen, quit worrying about hurting their feelings. You better worry about what God thinks about you. Your buddy's not going to be there at the judgment seat. You ain't going to answer and bow your knee to him. It's going to be a holy God who hates every ounce of sin because his son Jesus died for it. That's who you're going to answer to. You ought to keep yourselves out of some situations. Make sure. And by the way, if you get there and they lied to you, turn around and leave. Look, I've lost friends because I will not go and hang out at their house. I have family members who will not speak to me, Brother Whalen. But I'm not bowing down to my family. I'm not honoring my family. You say, "How could you diss your..." I'm not dissing my family. They diss me. I'm not changing who I am. Well, I'm supposed to go drink a fifth of liquor just to have a relationship with my brother. No, I love my brother. I pray for my brother. But I'm not associating with that. Why? Because God said no. And I'm not going to win him like that, by the way. He'll have me won over way sooner than I'll have him won over. Because I know me. There's a reason I stay away from that stuff. Temperate, it says be temperate. That means to exercise self-restraint. Have the ability to say no. Sound in faith. That means to be true to biblical teaching and love in accordance with it. Learn to love like Jesus loved. How did he love? Unconditionally. He loved even to the death of the cross. Have charity. In the Bible, charity is a Christian virtue that is described as the highest form of love and the foundation of all other Christian virtues. According to the Apostle Paul, charity is a very important attribute in heaven and in our life. You can look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1 through 13. We'll not go there for the sake of time, but if you read that, you'll see that charity is above all most important to have in a Christian's life. But I'll briefly give you this. Notice the eight things that charity is not, and you can read this in 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 through 13. Here's what charity is not. It's not jealous. It's not headstrong. The Bible will tell you what charity is. These are what they're not. It's not jealous. It's not headstrong. It's not proud. It's not unseemly. It's not inappropriately acting. It's not selfish. It's not irritable. It's not spiteful or mischievous. It's kind. It's patient. It's thankful. It's appreciative. It's optimistic. And it's gracious. Who are you? And the Bible tells us to have patience. Now, how many struggle with patience? Every last one of us. But don't pray for patience. Be careful. Just try to figure this one out on your own, okay? Because God will put you in a situation. You pray for patience. Be careful. Patience. It's also described as long-suffering, meaning having the endurance to stay calm and keep doing what you're supposed to do. Some of us, certain situations cause us to not have patience. I'll just give you an example of one of mine that I still struggle with. Like, for instance, yesterday, you say, "Oh, preacher, don't tell on yourself." Well, I was at a softball tournament, okay? And there's this coach there from the other team, and he's very well known amongst all the other teams as being that coach that argues every single call. You know what I'm saying? He'll stall the game. And I mean, yesterday it got to the point, this was about the fourth or fifth time, and this time I wasn't sitting by my wife for her to reach over and pinch my leg. And I kind of put myself in a bad situation, Brother Ricky. I was standing in the back, and his player got called out. I mean, she was out by 3 feet. And he stops the game. He goes to the umpire and says, "I want you to show me where she was tagged at." And I'm sitting there thinking, please don't say nothing else. Because it's coming, Brother Blake. It's coming. It's coming fast. And he said, he walked around. He said, "Come here. Let me show you where you're supposed to be." And finally, I had enough. I said, "Blue, just tell him to go sit down. He's been complaining all day." I said it loud enough where he could hear me. He looked at me and he said, "Shh." I said, "No, this ain't going to work." You know how that goes. Somebody tells you to be quiet. Are you going to be quiet? Mm-mm. I said, "I was telling the Blue to tell you to go sit down." And he told me to shh again. And finally, Crystal looked back and she said, "Please stop." And I'm like, okay, but look, reality is I shouldn't have done that. Now, I didn't cuss him. I didn't say a vile word to him. But my motive was to embarrass the guy. And I think I did. And after I sat and thought about it for a while, I thought to myself, I wouldn't have wanted him to do that to me. You ever been in a situation like that? Where you did something and you're like, "Man, I'm gonna show this guy." Man, he did deserve it, okay? He did. He was kind of a jerk. And everybody knew it. And I'll be honest, I gained a lot of fame. And all the crowd were like, "Good job, thank you. Somebody should have said something to him." But look, don't be that guy, okay? Don't be that guy. Because in reality, here's what I have inside of me. A convicting Holy Spirit that says, that guy that you just embarrassed has to spend eternity somewhere. And what if I was going to use you to lead him to the Lord? He's not going to respect you. You see what I'm saying? How our mouth sometimes, it feels good in the moment because we got him. Finally, we got him. But really, what's our motive? You see how we can have bad motives? Our motive should be see as many people won to Christ as possible at all cost. Don't ever disqualify yourself from the ministry by having bad motives. It would take a miracle. Now, I'm sure I could go apologize to this guy, but how he would take it, I don't know. He may say, "Hey man, no problem, I get it all the time." He probably does. But he may not. And he may not ever think about it again. It may just be fine. But I would have a hard time leading that man to the Lord this morning. Why? Because I had a bad motive. And I'm just telling you one of mine. Wonder how many of you have had bad motives before. See, we're all in the ministry of reconciliation. But if our motives are messed up, the ministry's messed up. Everybody all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I thank you now for just allowing us to be in your house this morning. Lord, forgive us where we failed you. Lord, thank you for letting, Lord, just us serve you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, you can be dismissed.